Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, happy Mother's Day. It's our Mother's Day show, so we want to wish everybody out there that's with us happy Mother's Day, and those that aren't, God bless you and happy Mother's Day anyway, including my own mom and grandma. Mother's Day was invented or originated by Anna Jarvis back in 1864-1948. She was from West Virginia, and she was concerned about the neglectful treatment of mothers by their adult children. Some things haven't changed. The first American Mother's Day was on May 10th, 1908. Flowers are traditional. Red carnations, a symbol of a living mother, and white ones when a mom has died. President Woodrow Wilson made it official the second Sunday in May. Now it's on May 13th this year. An essay by Garrison Keillor from a former host of A Prairie Home Companion writes about, let's talk frankly about you and your mother. Garrison writes, I'd like a word with you about your mother. I realize that Mother's Day is a fake holiday perpetuated by the greeting card industry and the florist, but it's here to stay, so make the best of it. And it's time you did something nice for your mother. I bring this up well in advance of Mother's Day so you can plan a little bit and not roll out of the sack on Sunday, May 13th, and fritter away the morning and then dash over to Mom's and on the way pick up a cheap box of chocolate-covered cherries at the gas station or a gallon of windshield cleaner or whatever you were planning to give her. Cheap chocolates are not appropriate for your mother, nor is a bouquet of daisies marked down 50% at the convenience store. What you owe your mother is a sonnet, a 14-line poem in iambic pentameter rhymed, just like Shakespeare's, when in disgrace with fortune in men's eyes, I alone beweep my outcast state. Look it up. You can do it if you try. Your mother loves you. She has loved you from day one. She loves you on your good days and your bad. She was on her way to Broadway, and Hollywood was taking a look at her when your father got her in a family way, and she put glamour and fame behind her and had you instead. Think about it. All that pain, and then out you came. Not the high point of her day, believe me. She changed your poopy diaper when the stench was such as to make strong men dizzy. And when you hopped up and ran off, leaving a brown trail behind you, she mopped that up too. At a certain age, you put everything into your mouth, dirt, coins, small toys, cufflinks, and when she stuck a finger down your throat, you refused to vomit. Nothing would come up. All she could do was pour Listerine in you and hope for the best, but if she tried to coax you to eat your green leafy material, then you would throw up quarts of stuff, and she'd clean it up and take you in her arms and comfort you, although your breath was rancid. You were not a bright child. I realize that you think you were in the accelerated group, and that was your mother's doing. Her great accomplishment was to protect you from the knowledge of your own ordinariness. The rest of us knew. You didn't. Nor did you realize the extent of your bedwetting. 3 a.m., you sat up in a stupor while Mom changed your urine-soaked sheets, tucked you in, and sang you to sleep with If Ever I Would Leave You from Camelot. She loved you through the dark valley of your adolescence, when you were as charming as barbed wire. You surrounded yourself with sullen friends who struck your mother as incipient criminals. Her beloved child, her darling, her shining star, running with teenage hoodlums, but she bit her tongue and served them pizza and sloppy joes, ignoring their and your countless shortcomings. When you were 17, when other adults found you unbearable, and even your aunts and uncles looked at you and saw the decline of American civilization and the coming of a dark age of arrogant narcissism unprecedented in world history, your mother still loved you with all her heart. She loves you still today, despite all the wrong choices you've made. Don't get me started. Go write your mother a sonnet. It costs you nothing except some time and effort. Do not buy her chocolate. She doesn't care for it. She only pretended to for your sake. Do not take her out to dinner. She has eaten plenty of dinners with you, and one more isn't going to be that thrilling. She might prefer to snuggle up in a chair all by herself and watch Singing in the Rain and have a stiff drink. You do know your mother drinks, don't you? Ever wonder why? So, get out a sheet of paper and a pencil. Here's an idea for a first line. When I was disgraceful and a complete outcast, well, you take it from there. Garrison Keillor, let's talk frankly about you and your mother. Makes me laugh. Her great accomplishment was to protect you from the knowledge of your own ordinariness. God bless you, Mom. Thank you for doing that for us, for us all. Well, we have a fun show today. And we're going to be talking with a special guest who is the music director for a show at Drury Lane, Oakbrook, South Pacific, one of Rodgers and Hammerstein's greatest musicals. So I thought we'd start out with perhaps the overture from South Pacific, Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific. And we'll be back on the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you.
the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein, the overture from South Pacific, and we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. A unique resort-inspired lakefront dining destination returns to North Avenue Beach this summer. Shore Club will be making waves in its first full season with upgrades to its one-of-a-kind venue featuring an all-new patio offering, healthy grab-and-go options, a creative frozen drink menu, and weekly fitness programming. Shore Club, located at 1603 North Lakeshore Drive, is excited to announce its return to the Chicago dining scene on Friday, May 11th. This upscale dining option and event space, nestled between the bustling Lakeshore Trails on the edge of North Avenue Beach, is set to feature a newly developed set of programming and activations this year. From morning workout classes on the beach to a cold towel service in the cabanas, Shore Club will be upgrading its offerings and menus in all three of its unique spaces. After a successful teaser season, we are excited to bring Shore Club back to both Chicago visitors and residents alike, said Robbie Schloss, one of the four local owners and partners, including Lisa Jarosek, Nicholas Thayer, and Bill Lamacchia Jr. Our new improved elements to the venue will help to prove that this unique dining option is not like anything else in the Windy City and is the best place to enjoy a Chicago summer. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning event producer coordinating such high-end presentations as music festivals, expos, and corporate functions, coordinator with Storybook Wedding and Events, accomplished musician and pianist, and ensemble member of the musical group Allegrezza, and one of the Chicago's premier promoters of dining and entertainment, and a partner in the hottest new summer dining destination in Chicago, the Shore Club at North Avenue Beach, 1603 North Lakeshore Drive. Our good friend, Ms. Laura Jarosek. Laura, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you back, and we're ready for another season, huh?
Yeah, me too. I'm super excited. Yeah, I'm out here right now.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
And a beautiful day it is. It's supposed to be 80 today, and it's going to get a little sunnier this afternoon. And after starting a little later in the season last year, you got a feel for the response you got. And was it great?
Yeah, we're super excited. We got a lot of great response from the locals as well as visitors who came through throughout the end of last season.
And, of course, like anything else, it's a work in progress. And certain things you had last year, now you're tweaking this year and making bigger and better. And let's talk about those a little bit. Of course, it's not limited to one restaurant. You have three dining venues there.
Well, not exactly three dining venues, I would say. It's more that we have three distinct areas. So based off of, you know, if you're coming off the beach or if you're looking for a nice dinner or lunch in the restaurant space, or you're looking to just lounge and relax out in the oasis.
And what are those?
So we have our outdoor patio area, which is great for a casual, like, walk-up business, people who are on the beach who just want to stop in and have something to eat and drink. In the restaurant, we take reservations on Open Table, and that's going to be a little bit more of an upscale vibe in that space. And on the Oasis, it's our VIP area where people can enjoy laying in the sun and having a nice glass of wine while hanging in a day bed or a cabana.
And now, do you have to make reservations to reserve those spots?
Yeah, so in the Oasis, it's reservation only. You can make reservations at theoasisvip.com.
Mm-hmm. And is it a private club type of VIP, or anybody can enjoy it?
Anybody can enjoy it. They just have to make a reservation prior.
Mm-hmm. So those that are on the beach and just want something casual, they can just kind of stroll up to the patio and grab something.
Exactly.
And now they can take something to go, too. You have a, what they call a grab-and-go container?
Yeah, so we're doing something fun this year of, you know, doing some healthy grab-and-go options out of our container bar for people who are walking on the lakefront who are looking for just, you know, something healthy while they're walking, or they're just, you know, wanting to grab something quickly. We're having like a carrot cake, overnight oatmeal, fresh fruit. We have a whole coffee program going out of there, and we have juices and tea and all that kind of stuff.
Sounds exciting. What time are you going to be open during the day?
So the container bar opens at 6:30 a.m. So
oh,
we're
boy.
Going to be hitting a lot of the people who are commuting to work and might want to grab something quickly as they're commuting down the Lakeshore Path.
Mm-hmm.
And then the actual restaurant will be open on the weekdays starting at 11 a.m. And on the weekends, we open for brunch at 10 a.m.
Oh, that's great. Brunch every day?
Nope, just brunch on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. So that's great. So people are going to school or going to work. They can stop in there early, grab something, and continue their stroll down the lakefront.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other things you have is you're teaming up with Equinox.
Yeah, we're teaming up with Equinox and Core Power and Club Pilates to offer fitness classes 4 days a week on the lakefront on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be doing classes on the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30, and we'll be doing the classes from 7:30 to 8:30 on Saturday.
Great idea. Jesus, great
yeah.
idea. Tell us about the restaurant. What is the cuisine or some of the things you're going to be serving in the restaurant, Diller?
So we say that it's inspired from beaches around the world. So you're going to see a lot of seafood on the menu. You're going to see some Mediterranean-inspired dishes. We have an amazing chicken souvlaki on there. We have, like, hummus. We have marinated olives. We have, you know, shrimp cocktail. We do a fresh catch of the day, all that kind of stuff on the menu.
The fresh catch out of Lake Michigan or fresh catch in general?
We'll see, depending on the day.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And now the cocktails you have a unique beverage program at the Shore Club.
Yeah, we're super excited. This year we are running a big frozen cocktail program that I'm really excited about. So just like last year, we will be featuring the Hampton Social Frosé, but we will also be featuring a couple of things that are new this year. We're doing a Chicago Vice. We're doing a Margarita. We're doing Frozen Yon Blanc. We're doing a Cold Fashioned. We're doing a cocktail called the Cold Shoulder, which is kind of like a twist on a whiskey sour featuring monkey shoulder. And, so we're super excited. So we have 8 frozen cocktails that are going to be running all the time, and I can't wait to taste them myself.
Now tell me about the one that's supposed to be the most popular, the Chicago 71. What is that?
Yeah, so the Chicago 71 is a ton of fun because it has dry ice in it.
Okay.
And it's smoking, and it's topped with Perrier Jouet. So it's just a fun... fun, kind of showy cocktail for people that's inspired by the Chicago Fire and you know, just kind of a fun play on that.
So that's the 71. Is that what the significance of that is?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's great. I love a strawberry daiquiri or pina colada in the summer. One of those smoothies.
Too.
Those are great. Those are just great. Especially going to be great down at Shore Club. So when people want to come down there, and they're going to be able to start this Friday, which is – the weather certainly is conducive for it, and we're really – I think we lost spring, but we hit summer head on. And we'll be able – I don't know if I'm going to be able to swim in the lake, a little chilly there, but certainly be able to sit outside and enjoy the lake. And what better place than the Shore Club, because the venue is right there, and the weather is going to be terrific. And it's going to be – again, the success you had last year, was it what you expected?
Yeah, I mean, we were really excited about people's response to the space and, you know, how welcoming they were to having this type of a facility on the lakefront. I think that a lot of people had been waiting for something to come and, be a little bit lighter fare and a little higher end dining experience. And, I think that when people come to the lakefront, they just want to sit and enjoy themselves. And I think that that's something that we like to focus on. It's, you know, we're not, our goal isn't to have people in and get them out as quickly as possible. We want them to stay. We want them to enjoy themselves, have another drink, you know, order a dessert, have some gelato, you know, just spend time and enjoy how beautiful the lakefront is, because we only have so many months that it's beautiful. And we need to maximize them.
You know, you bring up a good point, Dolor, because I've talked with a lot of restaurateurs and people in the hospitality industry, as you have been for many years, and, you know, you're outgoing and very welcoming. That's the key. You can have great food. You can have a great venue. But if you don't have the people that are welcoming in a restaurant, people aren't going to come back. And what you said is so very important. People come there because, you know, they want to just kind of kick back and just slow down for a little bit, relax, look and enjoy the lake that we have because it's a great gem that we have, an enviable position to be in Chicago like this. And people sit there and just take their time and enjoy everything around you.
Exactly. And for us, too, you know, one of the things about how we designed this space was that the lake was the most important focal piece. You know, it wasn't about doing something super showy. It's a lot in the space. It's a lot of like greenery and white because we want the lake to shine when people are there.
You know, you're talking to a former lifeguard at North Avenue Beach, so things have changed a little bit up there. So it'd be great to come back. A couple things that stick out too that you're special this year: the movies on the beach and the lakefront after hours. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so for the movies on the beach, this is a program that we're looking at starting a little bit later in the summer. We're hoping to be able to, you know, have people come in and be able to watch a movie on a screen in the patio area.
That's great.
So that they can, you know, order a drink and enjoy the lake and sit and watch a movie and have a fun thing that you can do with your family. And then for the lakefront after hours, I think a lot of people think that once the sun goes down, it is, you know, time to leave the lake. Well, for us, you know, we want people to enjoy it. We have like string lighting out on our patio. We have lights in the restaurant. We have, you know, just a space to come and enjoy and be kind of like peaceful by the water during the evening and just have people relax.
That's great. Well, certainly something to look forward to. Now for a full season, because we didn't have a full season last year, but we certainly do this year. We're hitting the ground running and what great weather to start it with. And it's going to be great as time goes on. I'm sure you're going to come up with some other different ideas and to make us even bigger and better than it was last year.
Yeah, definitely.
Shore Club offers an unparalleled hospitality experience at Chicago's famous North Avenue Beach. Guests will enjoy unobstructed views of Lake Michigan while dining in the restaurant, sitting in the outdoor patio, or relaxing in a cabana on the oasis. Shore Club's elevated food menu is inspired by Mediterranean cuisine and beautiful beaches around the world. The restaurant at Shore Club features floor-to-ceiling glass windows in a covered open-air space that is one of a kind in Chicago. For those wanting a more casual environment, the full menu is also available on the patio at Shore Club at a first-come, first-served basis. Guests looking for a semi-private VIP experience can reserve a cabana, daybed, or sunbed in the oasis at Shore Club. The Oasis will offer tableside service and, of course, high-end champagne. And on the line with us right now is one of the owners of the Shore Club, Laura Jurasek. Laura, a pleasure to chat with you again, and maybe a website or phone number if people would like to get some information.
Yeah. If they want to check us out online, it's www.shoreclubchi.com. And we can also have you guys follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Our handle is just Shore Club Chai.
And the phone number if people like to call?
Yeah, 312-550-5338.
Well, a delight chatting with you. Continued success. Good luck in this new season. I look forward to seeing you down there.
Great. Looking forward to seeing you too.
Thank you, Laura.
Bye.
Laura Jurasek from the Shore Club, located at 1603 North Lake Shore Drive. Boy, the weather is we're ready for it. what is that old saying? We only get three seasons in Chicago: winter, thunderstorms, and road repairs. But now we got summer, and it's hit us pretty hard. But why not? Because, as Laura said, we only got a few months of it. So no better place to enjoy it than down at the Shore Club. Again, for information, 312-635-8058. The works of Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein, arguably the greatest and most influential writing team of the great American songbook. And in the late 40s and early 50s, Americans were ready for a new type of theatrical presentation, a show presented on Broadway which was both a musical and a story. They wrote shows about more than just pretty music and dance numbers. They were about the issues of the day faced by common people, and they were set to music. And Rodgers and Hammerstein went on to write the canon of great American musicals: Oklahoma, Carousel, South Pacific, The King and I, Cinderella, Flower Drum Song, The Sound of Music. But Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein wrote for the intelligence of their audience, not only for their entertainment. They felt a social responsibility and a higher purpose in their work. Their musicals addressed social and racial biases, domestic violence, sexism, and political unrest. They tried to subtly teach lessons in their song and music. In fact, Richard Rodgers and Marvin Hamlisch are the only ones to ever receive an Oscar, Emmy, Tony, Grammy, and a Pulitzer Prize. Drury Lane Theater presents the first production of its 2018-2019 season, the Tony Award-winning musical South Pacific, with music by Richard Rodgers, lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein, book by Oscar Hammerstein and Josh Logan, and adapted from The Tales of the South Pacific by James Michener. This production is directed by Victor Milana Maug, with choreography by Otis Salid and musical direction by Roberta Dushek. South Pacific runs through June 17th at Drury Lane Theater, 100 Drury Lane in Oakbrook Terrace. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning performer on the Broadway stage in such hits as Ragtime, Scrooge, and Showboat, regional musical director for the musicals Grease, Rocky Horror, and Cats. Roberta's work has been enjoyed on the stages of the Mercury Theater, Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Goodman Theater, and Marriott. And she was a featured vocal soloist at Ravinia, working with both Patti LuPone and Audra McDonald. Vocal coach, teacher, mentor, and one of the brightest stars in the world of Chicago musical theater. Now, the music director for the Rodgers and Hammerstein classic South Pacific at Drury Lane Oakbrook through June 17th, Ms. Roberta Dushek. Roberta, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thanks so much, Kevin. It's good to talk to you.
Great to have you. And one of my favorites. Jeez, one of my favorites. South Pacific is just a terrific musical.
Isn't it? It's so beautiful. I just loved working on it.
You got to have fun doing it. And certainly some of the classic music, and we're featuring the music on the show today. We had the overture from South Pacifica, but all the great songs that are in the show. And to be able to put those together yourself, that's got to be exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I just love going back to the great musicals of our time because they teach us so much. They were so good at what they do, the way they tell a story. You know, I notice that in newer musicals, we try. If you watch a new musical, you notice that the opening number introduces you to all the characters. But yet, in a South Pacific or a Sound of Music or a Carousel, it just happens. They just start telling the story, and it's so beautifully told. And the characters are just revealed one by one, like it is in a book. So they are the masters of their art, for sure.
I dare anybody to try to pick out a favorite or favorite songs from this musical, because there are so many. Oh. A Cockeyed Optimist, Some Enchanted Evening. What a romantic song that is.
I know. I think people are amazed and reminded at how good their music is. And they're so good at reprising songs. You don't hear them once. You hear them two, three, four times.
Right.
It's a beautiful show and really relevant. These shows just stand the test of time.
Well, you know, of course, I mentioned in the introduction, Rodgers and Hammerstein kind of did their work hoping that their audience would look at this not only from a musical standpoint, but from a social responsibility standpoint. And in this one in particular, social and racial biases is a main topic and theme in this play.
It sure is. There's this song, it's called You've Got to Be Carefully Taught, and it's perfectly hidden in Act 2, Act 1, and it's just all about how Nellie realizes she's racist. She is so in love with this French man, but she finds out that he was married to a French Polynesian woman, a woman of color, mm-hmm. and she realizes, I can't be with you because of your children and who you were married to previously. And I think she's distraught over it, and she can't figure out why. And she keeps saying, well, I was born this way. And mm-hmm. the whole argument is, you weren't born this way. This is a choice. So it's so beautifully done, and you just feel for both sides. And to talk about racism in 1949, that's kind of amazing.
Cutting edge. And as I was doing, you know, as many times as I've seen this, whether it's been in the theater or it's been movies, and certainly mm-hmm. they've revived it numerous times in television and also, you know, in New York, it's interesting you look into this and you see these racial prejudice not only between Joe Cable being a mainline Philadelphia mainline family and Liat, of course.
Right.
And that marriage there or attempted to have that happen. And you see, as you said, Nellie Forbush from Arkansas with a kind of a redneck type of attitude towards what Emil Debeck is from France and his father, you know, children and so forth. And it's hard for her to get over that thought of what's happening there. And it goes on and on between the sailors and the Navy and the Tonkinese people. And they really address this and it really looks at this. And sure, you enjoy the music and the entertainment of it, but take a step back and look at it. And Mitchum did a hell of a job with it.
Completely. It's so beautiful. It's so beautifully done. And it's just so beautifully done and so in such a respectful and tasteful way.
When you look at something like this and you're kind of given the responsibility of putting this musical on, do you look at the stage plays that we saw with Mary Martin and Rosanna Brazzi or the movie with Rosanna Brazzi and so forth, and I think Ezio Pinza was in the play, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How do you tweak it yourself, or do you just say, oh, how I can't improve upon perfection?
You know, it's interesting. At the Drury Lane, obviously we can't afford or house a 30-piece orchestra.
Right, right. So, although you'd like to.
Yeah, right? So instead of 12 strings, we have one, mm-hmm. one violin. And so we really have to, I work really closely with my orchestrator, Carrie Dedman, who's brilliant at making a small band sound pretty mighty and real and authentic. But it also gives us another opportunity to bring our own creativity into the piece. For instance, Liat, every time we introduce Liat, we decided to have a bamboo flute play. And, you know, it might not be noticeable, you know, or like they're like, oh, but some people actually came up to me and said, that was so beautiful. Every time she entered or every time she danced, we had different bamboo flutes playing. Mm-hmm. And you've heard that kind of sound in Lion King and a lot of in meditation type music.
Sure.
And it's just beautiful. And it's sweet. It's a flavor of the island, and it's also a little bit sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So we do things like that to be creative and kind of not reinvent, but rethink it.
And it allows the audience to take their own willing suspension of disbelief and think they're on that island down in the Pacific.
Exactly.
Which is the responsibility we have as an audience, right?
Yes. And the other great thing about Rodgers and Hammerstein music is the underscore is so beautifully written. You know, it does everything it's supposed to do. It makes you laugh and cry and feel. It's stunning. If you just close your eyes and listen to the underscore, you would feel the same as opening your eyes. It's really kind of wonderful.
A great quote by Stella Adler, the great acting teacher. She said, "Life will beat you down and crush your soul, but art and theater will remind you that you have one."
Isn't that the truth?
And you come to the theater like the Drury Lane and you enjoy, of course, all the musicals they put on are terrific. South Pacific in particular now, because that's the one that you're putting on now.
Thank you.
You feel better when you come out of the theater, Roberta. You really do. You know, you go in there and you think, oh, shoot, I'm having a bad day. And you come out and go, boy, that was great. That was just great.
I think that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to make you think and feel and just feel better, especially in the political climate that we live in. You know, everyone's so divided. It's great for us all to come into, you know, and enjoy an experience together. It's a real sense of community.
The audiences have been sold out as usual at the Drury Lane.
Yeah, we're doing really well.
Yeah, of course.
It's also fun to introduce this music to a new generation.
That's a great point, Roberta, and I'd like to bring that up because it's our responsibility as parents and now grandparents and teachers and so forth that this new generation needs to know about the great classical music on which music now is based, the foundation from which Rodgers and Hammerstein and Lerner and Lowe. Without Rodgers and Hammerstein, you wouldn't have Stephen Sondheim. And that's what's so very important about that.
That's right. And musical theater is truly an American art form. I mean, we own it. So we have to know how it started. And it comes from jazz and blues and gospel and classical music. So, yeah.
You know, one of the things that people don't realize and don't know about Roberta Dushak is that, of course, you have been called or have been called by Hollywood and Broadway and so forth. And you've taught, as a vocal coach, taught both
Russell
Crowe, right? Les Miserables. And and we just saw that movie the other night about P.T. Barnum.
Yes, with you. Yes.
Yeah, with Hugh Jackman. Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was very good.
Yeah.
And he sings in it. So there you
go. There you go.
You go. Because of you, actually. Now that must have been an interesting little responsibility.
It was so much fun. You know, it's really the only musical that's ever been sung live. Mm-hmm. So it was such a heroic effort on everyone's part in every area. You know, it was so hard for the sound department because, you know, if they're picking up shuffling feet or rain, you know, on top of a naked vocal, it was really difficult to produce that. But it was so much fun. I was in England for 4 months.
Wow. Filming.
So it was, and, you know, getting to know all those actors as people, it was really fun. They took on a giant project and they loved it. They loved going to work every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, one of the classics, Les Miserables, and fits in with South Pacific and what we're enjoying now. What's next up for Roberta Dushak?
I'm working on Little Shop of Horrors at the Dreamland.
Oh, so really? Okay.
We are casting this week, so we'll mm-hmm. see how it goes.
That's good. And the plant, the man-eating plant, that's great.
Yes.
Well, it's a great season that Dreamland has coming up, and of course we still have a little time to enjoy South Pacific, and if people would like to do that, they should really get out and see it. It's not every day that a theater is brave enough to go into the complexity of race, patriotism, and loss, notes director Victor Milana Maugar. Creative team knows both the sweeping enchantment and the realities of this story on many levels. Choreographer Otis Sellett has broken numerous barriers in entertainment, and I wanted his inventiveness, passion, and bravery to infuse the conversations around this groundbreaking musical. We understand the responsibility to the many voices heard and unheard in this musical, and our storytelling will highlight both the romance and some bitter truth. Very interesting thoughts by the director on this play.
Yeah, I loved working with both Victor and Otis. They are such smart men, so kind and respectful, and to actors and the whole creative team. And it was all about truth and truth and storytelling in the dance, in the music, in the acting. We really worked as a team. Everything, you know, we really just tried to focus on the truth instead of, oh, here's some dance moves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the dance always came out of whatever the action of the scene was. And we wanted the music to be inspired, even though it's already written, but, you know, like we're singing it for the very first time. So it was such a pleasure working with both of them, those men.
Well, you bring up a good point, because somebody might be seeing this for the very first time. So where for us, we've seen it numerous times, and it's something that we're familiar with. Somebody goes to the theater for the first time, whether it's a young person or a young adult, and to see South Pacific and have that same, and you can still feel that, what you felt the first time you come and saw this musical, and how you felt when you were leaving the theater, as I said earlier. It's something special, and you need, it's your responsibility to bring that to them.
Yeah, I take it seriously.
Yeah, sure.
And for the singers, too, sometimes it's daunting to take on a classical piece of musical theater, especially if they're contemporary singers. They think, oh, I can't sing legit, or, oh, an opera star sang this the first time around. And I always go into it saying, okay, first of all, let's stop listening to cast recordings. We're not going to replicate. Mm-hmm. We're going to make sure that your authentic sound comes, you know, from you. I don't want to mimic. I want it to be sung beautifully and truthfully and easily. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't ever want my singers to feel like they're struggling. So as a voice teacher, I help them free their voice and make sure that they can sing it 8 times a week. I always, if you see one of my shows, I always hope that my act, when I leave them, you know, or when they're on their stage all by themselves, that they feel comfortable and strong and able.
Well, from the success you've had, Roberta, it's working.
Oh, you're so nice.
Drury Lane Theater presents the first production of its 2018-2019 season, the Tony Award-winning musical South Pacific, with music by Richard Rodgers, lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein, book by Oscar Hammerstein and Josh Logan, who directed, of course, the movie, and adapted from Tales of the South Pacific by James Michener. This production is directed by Victor Milano-Mogg with choreography by Otis Salid and musical direction by Roberta Dushek. South Pacifica runs through June 17th at Drury Lane Theater, 100 Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. And on the line with us right now is the musical director, Roberta Dushek. Always a pleasure, kiddo, to have you on the show, and continued success. Everything you do is successful, of course. Little Shop of Horrors is coming up next, which we look forward to. And if people would like some information and come down to the theater, the number is 630-530-0111. Enjoy the weather. Happy Mother's Day, and certainly enjoy your summer.
Thank you, too, Kevin.
Thank you, Roberta.
Okay.
Take care, dear. Bye-bye. Roberta Dushek. One of the special people in Chicago musical theater. She just does a terrific job. Everything she touches is a success, and this being one of them, South Pacific. And that's why we're going to continue listening to some of the great music from South Pacific. One of the beautiful love songs from the musical, Some Enchanted Evening. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Enchanted evening, you may see a stranger, you may see a stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then, that somewhere you'll see her again and again. Some enchanted evening, someone may be laughing, you may hear her laughing across a crowded room. And night after night, as strange as it seems, the sound of her laughter will sing in your dreams. Who can explain it? Who can tell you why? Fools give you reasons, wise men never try. Some enchanted evening, when you find your true love, when you feel her call you across a crowded room, fly to her side and make her your own. For all through your life you may dream alone. Once you have found, never let her go. Once you have found her, never let her go.
One of the great love songs from South Pacific, Some Enchanted Evening. We're back on The Kevin Moore Show. In honor of Mother's Day, the most creative job in the world involves taste, fashion, decorating, recreation, education, transportation, psychology, romance, cuisine, designing, literature, medicine, handicraft, art, horticulture, economics, government-community relations, pediatrics, geriatrics, entertainment, maintenance, religion, email, law, accounting, energy, and management. And anyone who can handle all those has to be somebody special. She is a mother. That's the truth. A couple thoughts, a couple quotations for Mother's Day. From the Russian philosopher, for a mother, the project of raising a child is the most fulfilling project she can hope for. She can watch him, as a child, play the game she was not allowed to play. She can invest in him her ideas, aspirations, ambitions, and values. She can watch her child, who came from her flesh and whose life was sustained by her work and devotion, embody her in the world. So, while the project of raising a child is fraught with ambivalence and sometimes anxiety, it is the only project that allows a woman to be through her child, to live through her child. Thoughtful words. God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. It's true, huh? No matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. All mothers have intuition. The great ones have radar. Isn't that true? From Maureen Hawkins, before you were conceived, I wanted you. Before you were born, I loved you. Before you were here an hour, I would die for you. This is the miracle of life. The great Russian philosopher Maxim Gorky said, only mothers can think of the future because they give birth to it in their children. Some great quotes for Mother's Day. Another hauntingly beautiful love song from South Pacific, Bali High. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Most people live on a lonely island, lost in the middle of a foggy sea. Most people long for another Bali High may call you any night, any day. In your heart you'll hear it call you, come away, Bali High will whisper on the wind of the sea. Am I your special island? Come to me, your own special hopes, your own special dreams bloom on the hillside and shine in the streams. If you try, you'll find me where the sky meets the sea. Here am I, your special island. Come to me, Bali High, Bali High. Sunshine, my head sticking out from a low flying cloud. You'll hear me call. sunshine, sweet and clear as can be. Come to me, here am I, come to me. Come to me, come to me, Bali high, Bali high, Bali high.
And maybe just one more. Emil Debeck sings, "This Nearly Was Mine." Of South Pacific, and we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. In honor to Mom, happy Mother's Day. Mother, you know that you are dear to my heart, and because of that, we'll never part. Through childhood days of gladness, sorrow, laughter, and tears, you were always there with knowledge to share. Now that I'm grown and able to reflect, I've chosen those qualities which you exude best, be it a winning smile, a kind word, or a helping hand, on the everyone you can depend. So on this special day, Mother, I'm proud to say that is because of you these virtues shine through. Happy Mother's Day, wherever you are, Mom. And to the mom of my kids, happy Mother's Day, honey. I love you. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guests, Laura Jarosek, one of the owners of the hottest new summer dining destination in Chicago, the Shore Club at North Avenue Beach, 1603 North Lakeshore Drive. It opens on Friday the 11th, and a great place to celebrate Mother's Day and throughout the season. And the summer's with us. So enjoy our lake and enjoy the Shore Club. For information, 312-635-8058. And our good friend Roberta Dushek, one of the brightest stars in the world, Chicago Musical Theater, now the music director for the Rodgers and Hammerstein Classic South Pacific at Drury Lane, Oakbrook, through June 17th. For information, 630-530-0111. Have a chance to get out to see it and certainly bring the kids, because what a great introduction to them, to the canon of American musicals. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have at the very least done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. And to all the moms and grandmas, happy Mother's Day.
The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. But in your eyes, I may not see forever. Forever. Yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, then a luck then I suppose the music.